A Tentative Lease will decide the future of Skagway's port, and a little essay about love for this Valentine's season. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories up next. The Skagway team that negotiated a new tentative lease with White Pass Yukon Railroad for the town's tidelands calls the result the best option for the town and future of port development. The mayor and assembly members gave a presentation to the community Tuesday night about the proposed Memorandum of Understanding, or MOU, struck with White Pass officials after 4 years of on-and-off negotiations. White Pass President John Finlinson was also in attendance and made a few remarks. But Mayor Mark Schaefer and Assemblyman Dan Henry were the main presenters. Henry, as one of the negotiators for the city, said the MOU as it stands is the best chance the city has to move ahead with port development.
I think it's safe to say that any and all options have been exhausted. The best opportunity for creating a document that would be acceptable as a good document to both sides is what you're going to see here if you've not seen it already.
With an audience of about 20 people, Schaefer started the presentation with a recap of the last several years that brought the community to this point in port development. He started as far back as 2007, when the ore terminal got back up and running after 10 years out of service. He went through how the municipality gradually built up its work with the port through studies and plans for improvements and an expansion. Throughout that time, Yukon mining companies began showing interest in the port as they developed their plans for mining ventures. The municipality twice submitted federal grants to get money for port development, and both times were denied. Then, in April 2011, the state granted money for the Gateway Port Development Project. Skagway voters agreed to bond for more project money, and the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority also agreed to bond for project money toward the ore terminal enhancements. Throughout this time, Skagway began talks with White Pass, the company that holds the lease to most of the tidelands. And that's an important key to the entire port development concept. White Pass currently holds a lease on much of the property at the port until 2023. But in order to work on the Gateway project, the municipality needs access to many of the areas White Pass controls. And the city needs access before the current lease expires. Otherwise, the money for the state may go away if not used soon. So, lease negotiations began in earnest with White Pass about 4 years ago. Proposals came and went. The Assembly held many executive sessions to discuss negotiations. Last fall, negotiations reached a head when three Assembly members and the borough attorney traveled to Florida to meet with White Pass company executives. Finally, what they brought back was formulated into a Memorandum of Understanding for a new 35-year lease. 5 of the 6 Assembly members approved the MOU, and it was finally released to the public in January. Now the MOU is being drafted into a lease. That, too, will have to be approved by a majority of the Assembly. And then the real test happens. It has to be approved by Skagway voters in a special election. Mayor Schaefer and lead negotiator Henry have been cautious about rolling out the MOU. Schaefer has said he wanted to get it out in public, but how to conduct public meetings about it have been debated. The sole Assembly member who voted against it, Gary Hansen, has encouraged meetings and question and answer sessions with the public. Schaefer, Henry, and other Assembly members have said it's difficult to have back and forth about the MOU since it's not yet an official lease and because they cannot reveal any discussions that took place in executive session. And as Henry pointed out at Tuesday's presentation, debating specifics of the MOU and whether members of the public think details should be tweaked one way or another is basically moot. There will be no more negotiating before the lease goes to a vote, so it's an all-or-nothing package for voters to decide on, he said.
If in fact you agree with us that this is directed to targeting, diversifying our economy, then I feel this is something that you would want to be on board with and support. If not, that's certainly a prerogative. We all know that the main focus, or 95% of our economy here, is cruise ship business. We also don't want to do anything to take away from that cruise ship business, most certainly. We don't want to even think about trying to jeopardize that. We want something to help diversify the economy and enhance the opportunities and the economy on the whole.
Henry detailed some points of the MOU, like the lease payments. Under the current lease, White Pass pays a percentage based on land assessments every 5 years. This year, for instance, the company will pay the municipality just over $127,000. Under the new lease, those payments are set amounts, starting at $250,000 and increasing $25,000 every 4 years. Secondly, the new lease will decrease the amount of land White Pass actually controls. While the company currently leases several acres of property surrounding the port, under the new lease, that area will shrink to about 4 acres and include just the property directly beneath the Orr and Broadway docks. They still control the docks and any future improvements on them, including a future floating dock. There are several properties near the port that White Pass currently subleases to other companies, like Tempsco and Petro Marine. Under the new lease, the municipality will take control of those leases. Skagway won't make any profit on those leases for the next 9 years. That money will still go to White Pass. After 2023, the city will begin profiting from those leases, which currently total about $428,000 a year. That was the number provided to the city by White Pass, according to the city. Henry also pointed out two other provisions in the lease. First, the city will pay half the cost of a new floating dock to accommodate the Solstice-class cruise ships expected to begin sailing in Alaska in 2015. Second, White Pass has agreed to contribute $2 million toward the dredging costs in the Orr Dock Basin for contaminants there from Orr terminal operations in the 1970s and 80s. The city estimates that's about half of what it will cost to remediate the basin of pollution that settled there. The second point drew some questions from the audience Tuesday asking why the city should foot the bill for contamination that some consider the responsibility of White Pass. Henry said, as the landowner, the city has to assume some of the responsibility. Moreover, he said spending time assigning blame for the contamination wouldn't help advance the port project.
If exacting a pound of flesh is what our motive is, if that's our driving force, to not diversify the economy, not to expand the project, not to get a better dock, not to extend the dock to take the larger ships, but to exact a pound of flesh from somebody that we got a pretty good idea did something wrong with us. Or we can take care of it.
Others in the audience noted that Tuesday's meeting was the first time they'd had to really delve into the terms of the lease and begin to understand it. And they want more information. Jan Rentmore said she would like to see information and analysis from an independent source. Former Assemblyman Paul Reichert noted there had been mention of having a cost-benefit analysis done and asked Henry what the status of that was. Henry, as chair of the Finance Committee, said his committee discussed that idea, but said there was, quote, no forward momentum on it. After the meeting, when asked if his comments meant an analysis would not be done, he said he was expecting interim clerk Emily Deitch to make some phone calls to see what the options and pricing to do an analysis was. Hansen, joining the presentation by phone, also expressed support for a cost-benefit analysis. Schaefer said more meetings about the lease will be announced. A special election on the lease has not yet been set. We've posted the complete audio from Tuesday night's presentation in a link on our KHNS News webpage with this report. We haven't had a Small Things Considered essay in a while, but what better time to air one than for Valentine's Day? Here's Haynes writer Rosalie Lowen.
There are a lot of things you learn working in a jail. One of the most important lessons is that the Beatles were wrong. Love is not all you need. This particular lesson walks into jail on a regular basis with split knuckles and bruises, and guess who's the first person he or she wants to call? I'll give you a hint. It's not their lawyer. Oh, these couples love each other all right, no doubt about that, but they're doing it wrong. Just loving someone is not enough. You have to do it right. It's not necessarily their fault. Loving people the right way takes a lot of skill and practice, and like most things, it's easier to learn if you're lucky enough to have good teachers. Someone who has never experienced the right kind of love themselves has a pretty big hurdle when it comes to loving other people. There's this stupid Hollywood myth that simply falling in love will instantly transform you into a better person. I don't think that's true. I think that if you're a jerk to start with, you're probably just going to be a jerk in love. The qualities that could make you into a good partner, for example, patience, empathy, impulse control, are habits that have to be nurtured throughout your life. Love is an area where quality matters. Love done right warms you. It buoys you up in rough waters. It catches you when you slip and fall. And when you love someone the right way, you make them feel good and you bring out the best in them. The right kind of love is something you can trust and something that you never have to be afraid of. And this is true not just on payday, not just after a few drinks, not just most of the time, but all of the time. On the flip side, if you're lucky enough to have some of that good stuff in your life, never, ever take it for granted. Appreciate every lover, spouse, parent, relative, or friend who knows how to love you right, and don't waste a minute of it. Keep seeking out the good stuff and practice your own skills. There are plenty of people out there, there are probably people in my jail right now, who never even get a taste. Also, I think the Beatles were probably wrong about that walrus thing. Cuckoo Kachoo, and happy Valentine's Day.
That was Rosalie Lone with a Small Things Considered essay feature. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. KHNS staff will be off on Monday for President's Day, but KHNS News will return on Tuesday evening. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.
Love.